Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The hostage release deal, the pay for slay policies, these are all very, very complex, complex things that have a great impact on not only the current situation, but also the future. We wanted to get a little bit of insight into the thinking around the hostage deal, how this is actually playing out. For that, we are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch. He's from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, the former Director of Military Prosecutions for Judea and Samaria. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us once again. A very, very complicated time at the moment, isn't it?
It is, without question, Howard. It's one of those situations where there really isn't even a silver lining. We experienced the October 7 massacre. The genocidal terrorists specifically took hostages in order to use them as bargaining chips to force Israel into really a terrible situation. And they've pretty much succeeded in their goals. They took innocent little girls, and now they're exchanging them for mass murderers. That's a situation that no country should be in.
And it's almost reported as though this is absolutely normal. You know, when you look at media around the world, it's, yeah, well, Hamas, you know, here's this deal. It talks about it with absolutely no, not no judgment, but just as though this is absolutely just one of those things that happened.
I would say that it's even worse than that, Howard. The international media is presenting, well, look, there's a deal between two parties. One side releases some hostages, the other side releases some prisoners, as if there's some type of moral equivalency between the two. And that's really the misleading message that's being put out, because there is no equality. On the one hand, you have innocent people being taken by a genocidal terrorist organization. And again, on the other side, you have people who have a record of murdering as many people as possible. You have a guy called Mohammed Abu Varda. That's one of the terrorists who's being released. No one really knows the name. No one even thinks about, well, what did he do? Because he's just a Palestinian, right? But when you take into account that he's responsible for the murder of 48 people in suicide bombings, then suddenly you get a different picture. Fahmi Meshara, a guy who blew up a bus and murdered 19 people.
Why is it that Israel have accepted these particular characters? Surely, I mean, look, we're not there in that negotiation, and it must have been excruciating, and we know how excruciating the whole deal is. But was there no level of, was there no line that wasn't a red line for Israel when it came to releasing some of these murderers?
So unfortunately, it appears that we have no red lines. There is some type of insistence that certain mass murderers won't yet be released, and I stress the word yet, because the terrorists are still holding, even at the end of this deal, they'll still be holding another 64 hostages. And so every time, every cycle of releasing terrorists for hostages, you've got to assume that the price is just going to go up and up and up. And eventually we will have no red lines whatsoever if our desire is to receive all of the hostages back. And the terrorists know this. And every time we go to one of these deals, we just empower them more and more, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Is there any way that Israel can track the some of these guys that are perhaps more dangerous than others?
Well, so unfortunately, the answer is no. Many of these terrorists are being deported from Israel, from Judea and Samaria and Gaza, and are going abroad to really live the high life. They'll join people like Akhlam Tamimi, the terrorist who led the suicide bomber to the Sbarro pizza shop in Jerusalem in August 2001. She's living the high life. She's a presenter on television in Jordan. And so off they go into these other countries, to Turkey, to Qatar. They'll be received as heroes and welcomed as heroes. And unfortunately, our ability to continue tracking them is very limited. Even those who are being released into Israel proper, and there are some of them as well, within the 1949 armistice lines, our ability to impose on them sanctions that would require them to wear, for example, ankle bracelets so that we know where they are, is actually very limited.
And what does that mean now in terms of, because we've seen an incredible amount of activity taking place on the West Bank in terms of the situation there. So what does that mean now in terms of, are these things linked?
They're without question linked. We've seen every time that Israel has gone to a prisoner release, it has brought on massive amounts of terrorism. Going back to the Jibril deal in 1985, which soon turned into what was called the First Intifada. Thereafter, the releases of Oslo, which then brought about the terror attacks from September 2000. The Shalit deal, obviously, which then led to the October 7 massacre and thousands of people being murdered. Every time we do this, it results in more terrorism, because it's a reward for terrorism. And therefore, that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing this really awakening of much more wide-scale terrorism in Judea and Samaria. We've seen it over the last year and a half as well, but it had been less talked about. And now Israel has to deal with that also with full force.
What about pay for slay? It's pay for slay, where the Palestinian Authority are paying murderers and terrorists and their families for effectively as an incentive for carrying out terror attacks. Can that be stopped?
So that really is one of the root causes of much of the conflict in Judea and Samaria and with between Israel and the Palestinians. It's this practice where every terrorist is considered to be an employee of the Palestinian Authority. It doesn't matter whether they're from Hamas, the PFLP, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. The PA adopts all of the terrorists and pays them huge amounts of cash rewards for their participation in terrorism. That's something which, if you have any entity in the world that pays a financial reward to terrorists, then that entity should be defined as what it is. It's a terror sponsor. I apologize. And you know, for your listeners, I have my South African roots as well. But imagine how heinous it would be if someone were to offer a cash prize to murder black people.
Yeah, it's an absurdity.
World would be up.
Of course,
the world would be up in arms. But there is that's what happens now. There's a cash prize to murder Jews. And yet the world is silent. The world is distorting this picture and pretending that the people offering that cash prize to reward Jews, well, they're the moderates. They're not moderates at all. The PA is no better than Hamas. In fact, it's actually very much on the same plane as them.
Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch, thank you for that. He's from the Jerusalem Center for Security, Foreign Affairs, a former director of the military prosecution for Judea and Samaria. Very strong feelings around this.